Turundusraadio .
Hello everyone and welcome to our Marketing Radio talk show number 284. I'm Anu Malnarits from the Institute of Marketing in Estonia, and today I have a guest via Skype, Professor Waldemar Pörz, who is from Steinbeis from Germany, and today we are going to talk about strategy. Hello Waldemar, and how are you?
Hello. Hi Anu Mal. I'm happy to be with you today. I'm fine, and I'm sitting in my office in Stuttgart.
It's really nice to hear. When we talked last time about strategy, then you noticed that Estonia is such a small country, so every company here needs to have a very clear strategy, not to distribute the forces all over in different disciplines and different fields. But also noticed that most of the companies in Estonia that you have met seem to lack strategy. Am I right? Or have you softened your approach a bit?
Well, I learned more about the success of Estonian companies and also about Estonia itself. So I would say in the last couple of years, I saw some improvements. I have been to Estonia in the last three, 4 years, so I saw something. When you look at the overall development of the GDP of the company, of the country, we have reached 20,000 per capita and 30 trillion for the whole country. When we talk about 30 trillion US dollars, we compare to, let's say, medium-sized or middle-sized companies in Europe. I mean, when you look at Bosch, we talk 80 billion, so three Estonia would go in a company like Bosch. When we talk about large companies, actually the largest company in the world is Walmart, and Walmart is almost the size of Canada, so more than 500 billion. So when we have large companies, normally the strategy is relatively clear. In the case of Walmart, Walmart goes for the cheapest price ever, using their purchasing power to pressure the suppliers and deliver their value proposition to the rest of the customer. When we look to smaller companies have to go with very specific approaches as smaller countries. And of course, small institutions, small companies have a history, and some can start completely new and build something new, and some have to bring their history or carry their history, and therefore determining a new strategy is not easy. So many of the Estonian companies come from a certain background, and because that background determines certain activities, and therefore sometimes it seems like they haven't done their homework. Well, but in the recent years, as I just said, I've learned that the Estonian companies are actually making their homework, understanding what strategy is, and becoming more specific in the way they approach the market.
So you mean that the strategy would be used, let's say, in 90s or even at the beginning of 2000s, was actually that we were low-cost suppliers. And what we tried to do was really to compete mainly on price. And today, mm-hmm. when we are not so low-cost anymore compared to the mm-hmm. other countries, it seems that we are losing the price advantage, but it's very mm-hmm. difficult to find another one.
Yes, and this is actually one of the challenges many evolving companies have. But if they understand what they want and if they have formulated their strategy, they can actually redirect their activities and become successful. I mean, the most obvious example is Apple, which has now the size of Belgium. So Apple, I remember 30 years, 35 years ago, it was a small specialized supplier for design-oriented computers. Being in a big market where many computer companies were, and they stuck to their approach and maintained that, and today they became one of the biggest guys. So that means for a company from Estonia, if you look at your strengths and understand what you can do best and what the customer actually appreciate, then you can determine what is the right thing to do for each of these companies.
Absolutely. By the way, how would you define strategy? What is strategy for you?
Well, strategy is the determination of any activities of a company in a certain direction by creating a competitive advantage, by creating a value proposition for a customer which makes the customer come back. So if you build steel structures, many people can build steel structures. But if you build, let's say, specialty wagons, trailers for farmers, and you learn that these trailers could be used in construction, and if you use this trailer in construction in a way that you actually make the work of the construction worker more easier, because with this small, easy handleable trailers, you can access difficult terrain much better, you suddenly create for yourself something unique. You create a benefit for your customers, and you could become market leader if you continuously improve what you have. Actually, this was a real example of an Estonian company.
It's very good to hear that we have good examples of Estonian companies as well.
I didn't mention the name, but people may know this company. But today, this company is actually on the rise and bringing a very special product to the European market, and it looks like that they can outperform even large trailer manufacturers, which are still stick to the old types of trailer.
Very good. Let's say so that for the company leaders and managers who think that they lack strategy, how should they reach a good strategy? Mm-hmm. What should they do?
Well, at the beginning of every strategy is the understanding of the situation, meaning you need to understand the market environment. You need to understand the changes. You need to understand the upcoming potential. And then on the other side, you need to know exactly what can you do, what strengths do you have, and what are your specific capabilities. And by matching both, the understanding of market and the understanding of your own situation, you can determine what are the next steps. Let's say you are a specialty company for artificial grass. And there's a certain application, like soccer fields, where you have normal grass or you have artificial grass. And with this artificial grass, actually, you don't have the downside of the normal grass, which wears out, and which is, when it's raining, not usable, da-da-da-da. So you have some great advantages. But of course, this kind of artificial carpet has to be maintained and cleaned. So if you know the status of the situation, and if you know how to maintain it, you can actually bring an offering to the sports companies that they help them to be successful. Yeah, I mean, they can do the training all the time, they can do it all that, and gives you the opportunity to be their service provider. And again, there's an Estonian company who is very good in this.
So for you, it seems really easy, isn't it?
Well, it seems easy when you do it right and when you do it continuously. If you get busy and get tangled up in daily business, and if you don't have an overview, then of course developing a strategy could be pain. But many leaders, if they take time, if they listen to their customers, and if they listen to their employees, they can come up with judgment and they can come up with decisions which can lead the company in the right direction. It sounds easy when you are on the right track. It is very difficult when you're in a difficult situation, and then sometimes help when you let other people look at your situation and compare to how other companies are doing it, competitors and non-competitors, and then reflect on it and then come to a new conclusion. So should you develop a new trailer? Should you develop a new machine for the artificial grass? All these kind of decisions you can make if you understand the environment and can make a judgment what will happen in the future.
This was my next question. Let's say that the company management has decided for a strategy and say that, okay, we want to be the biggest trailer or the best builders of trailers in Europe. Mm-hmm. Even if we are in Estonia from a small country, mm-hmm. but let's say that this is our ambition. Mm-hmm. But then we have the economic downturn coming. Then we have probably Brexit coming. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of the biggest markets in Europe is just going to be tied apart from us. And mm-hmm. maybe then we have some kind of political crisis and then our mm-hmm. taxes raise and so on. So mm-hmm. in this situation, the companies often feel that, yeah, let's put the strategy aside. It is just mm-hmm. a paper and let's try to survive. What is your suggestion in these type of situations?
Well, I know survival is the most important thing of a company. But sometimes it makes sense also not to go for survival, but go to rejuvenation, so change everything all over. I know there will be some difficult times ahead, but you can prepare. But sticking to your principles can actually give you an advantage in the difficult times. Of course, then you also have to reallocate resources. So should you focus more on the production of the equipment, or should you focus more on the selling? Since currently most of the Estonian companies are focusing on the production of stuff, it is very difficult to go through crisis, because that means reduction of people, increase of costs, losses, headaches, all that kind of stuff which goes along with that. But if the company is evolving, if they are becoming more like a marketing or service provider, then they can actually make decisions. Hey, do we need to produce it in our country? Can we not produce it in the Ukraine? Or could we let other companies make it and reduce our risk of being tied up with the capital, what we have? I mean, there are some strategic decisions companies have to do when they are evolving. Coming back to Apple, I mean, Apple was a great company. And remember, Steve Jobs built the first computer with his co-workers, and they had their own manufacturing. At a certain period of time, they decided, hey, let's other people produce the stuff. We are good in marketing. And then they move to software integration, and then they move to complete services. So you also have to keep in mind your industry and your offering should evolve. So going back to the trailers, I mean, the trailers is a great product. You can produce it nicely. But after you have reached certain market success, why then do you let other companies produce them and you market them? Why don't you establish in the meantime your brand? And when you have the brand, you can actually increase your prices. So there are actually a number of activities which come with the development of your company. And the understanding for that comes very often when you compare your own company with others within your industry and without your industry. And then when you see what is possible, you can change your strategic decisions.
Absolutely, absolutely true. I wanted also to ask, you mentioned several times that you should build strategy on your strengths. But often we have a very, I think one of the, let's say, tools of analytics or models of thinking is a very basic SWOT analysis.
Yes.
Strength, weaknesses, threats, opportunities. I think all the businesses in the world, the business leaders know it, even if they haven't been in any management school. And there is often an understanding that that in some cases you should develop your weaknesses. Today you say that to build strategy you should build on your strengths. So how to understand when it's important to build on the weaknesses and when you should focus only on developing on your strengths?
Let me first comment on the SWOT framework. I like the SWOT framework because it's very helpful. I actually would like to turn it around. So you don't start with strengths, weakness, opportunity, and threats. You actually start with the threats.
Okay.
You see, hey, what is really? And then you look for the opportunities. And then out of your opportunities, you look at the weakness and see what you have to do. And then you go for the strength. So if you turn that framework around, your approach is very different. And it actually answers also a little bit your questions. When should you look on your weakness and when should you look at your strengths? When you move forward, you need to look at your strengths because the strengths will multiply your results. Of course, you have to look at your weakness also, but you only have to look at your weakness in a way that you can be in the game. You don't have to make your weakness to be a strength because most of the time it's very hard to do. I mean, the example what I'm using here is Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has the longest strike of all golf players. So he can target 280 meters, 300 meters very precisely. But one of his weaknesses is getting out of the bunker. And many golf players are great in getting out of the bunker. So they can play hundreds on 200 meters out of the bunker. Tiger Woods cannot. But if he's on the green, he can go far and pretty precise. So he has to get out of the bunker somehow and then take his strengths. So the same is true for companies. If you are weak in certain areas which hinder your activities, then and your strengths brings you the lead, then you should just focus on the strengths and just make up a little bit on the weakness. But if the weakness are instrumental, you actually have to think about getting out of the game. I mean, just imagine if it would have been wilder worse at Tiger Woods. Yeah, if he would have been bad in long strikes, he should have stopped playing golf. He should have switched to something else. So sometimes it makes sense to change what you're doing. Remember Nokia. Yeah, and Nokia was a rubber boot manufacturer, and they moved into electronics. And now they're out of the mobile business and they are in systems. I mean, the conscious decision was we are not improving our weaknesses that we can compete with the guys in rubber boots. Yeah, mm-hmm. Their strength was communication. So then they moved into communication. Then they found out that communication on mobile phones is not good enough. Then they went into systems. So it makes sometimes sense to think about the whole overall business model. If you're a medium-sized company, you could be open for that.
Absolutely. In Estonia, there is, I think, pretty common understanding that in order to create a strategy, you have to involve many people, different teams, working out what to do, how to do, and so on. Mm-hmm. And often it results with a document that is sometimes 20 pages, sometimes mm-hmm. 80, depending mm-hmm. on how much people really wanted to write down the thoughts. And then finally, no one really has a clear understanding where should we move.
Okay.
Is this common approach? or what are your suggestions for this type of processes?
Okay. I mean, I know this kind of documents and processes, and they take half a year or a year, and then the outcome is many people are involved and we have lots of papers, da, da, da. What I normally recommend here is you have to be able to condense everything on 2 pages. And if you can condense this in a very short form, there should be a few people who make decisions. Not everybody, a few people. 2, 4, 10, whatever, which can actually overlook the whole business and then make decisions. So if you have a large document, my recommendation would be condense it on 2 pages, strategic direction, strategic thrust, strategic portfolio, strategic investment. And of course, numbers, yeah? What's your financial situation afterwards? So if you have that on 2 pages, you can clearly see if you do this, this will be the outcome. If you do this, this will be the outcome. If you invest here, this will be the outcome, with some projections. And then 2-3 people have to make decisions. But then these people have to convince the other people that this is the way we are going. Of course, this needs leadership skills, but this also needs follower skills. So the people who are not in favor of this kind of concept have to, let's say, have to be conscious about their disagreement, but should all commit to do it, because every strategy is a temporary strategy. And you have to give yourself 3 months, 6 months, 9 months to prove the direction you have chosen is working. So actually, after 1.5 years, if you see the direction is not working, you better change. My recommendation is you do that latest after 6 months. But at the same time, you have to take everybody with on board, because the motivation and the engagement of every member of the company and also the partners of the company, I mean distributors, financials, the banks, all that has to be on board and say, okay, this is the direction we go. And if everybody is committed and the leadership team is focused, then there's actually no reason the strategy should not work out.
What happens if during the 6 months, for the first, you don't manage to commit everyone, and for the second, as a result, it just falls apart?
Well, that is actually the not expected or not the wanted outcome. And this happens. And I think it's better that then the company is falling apart, because then the various people can start over again. We have the same thing in nature. If stuff doesn't work, it falls apart and disappears. I mean, many companies have a solid foundation, even when they're small, because they have customer relationships, they have technology, they have knowledge in the company. So the chances for falling apart is actually relatively slim. But if you make a wrong decision, you better reverse this decision as soon as possible, because you only extend the suffering, and sometimes you actually can make the pain bigger. And therefore, my recommendation is, as soon as you have some indicators that the stuff what you have to decide it doesn't work out, change. Even if you think you're losing your face, even if you think you're not good viewed by your employees, then you tell them, I was wrong, I made a mistake. You can, as a manager, you can step down and let somebody else do it, or you can change organizations. But suffering hanging in is actually not a good thing. So my recommendation is, look at the stuff in a brutal, clearness, in a rigorous way, come to a conclusion, it worked, invest more. If you come to the conclusion it didn't work, reverse the decision and maybe close.
Thank you. It was so brutally clear and a very good example that I think everyone understood what to do, how to do, and what to build on. So thank you a lot for the insight. It was really interesting. And let's say, I really like your approach to start again if it doesn't work, and to come out with a better strategy and better things. Thank you.
I actually would like to recommend one book. This time is not one of my books, but it's Martin Rivera's. He wrote a book, Your Strategy Needs a Strategy, How to Choose and Execute a Right Approach. I love this book.
Was this the book that was listing all the ways of doing strategy in a time scale? Was this the one?
Yes. That's the one. Because this has a historic background. It shows all the methods. It takes some time to read it, but it's super helpful.
Excellent.
So Your Strategy Needs a Strategy, Martin Rivers.
Very good. So thank you a lot. We'll see you personally already soon in Estonia. Maybe not so soon, but in some months. But our listeners, if you don't have a chance personally meet Professor Valdemar Förts here in Estonia, please read his books, full of wonderful ideas. And also, please listen us next time here in Marketing Radio. We have new people, new thinkers, new suggestions. So you will learn anyway, not about strategy, but about very different things. And please listen to our podcast also in Delfi Tasku, in SoundCloud. Are we also available? So whatever channel is suitable for you, welcome to follow. Thank you.
Sulle meeldis Turundusraadio? Telli endale meeldetuletus järgmiste saadete kohta Marketingi Instituudi kodulehelt.